What it is, Brad Lee back again with another episode of Dropping Bombs. Today in the studio, folks, I got a freaking granola head fresh out of Joshua Desert. The dude's a king at the sprouting movement. Matter of fact, I would say the founder, damn near, pioneer at least.
The living guy.
Of the sprouting movement. This dude hasn't eaten shit in a long time. Like, dude, you've literally eaten organic, raw organic for how long now?
Raw organic plants, fruits, vegetables, seeds, nuts, seaweeds, and sprouts, 23 years exclusively.
So you don't know what a cheddar bratwurst tastes like.
And maybe in a nightmare.
You don't know what a nice, delicious piece of A5 Wagyu tastes like.
I have no idea what that is.
Damn.
And I'm still alive.
You're still alive.
And I'm happy.
I know, but I've eaten it and I'm still alive and I'm happy. So what's that tell you? It ain't the sprouts, brother. It ain't the sprouts. Otherwise, everybody that would be not eating sprouts would be dead and all the sprout heads would be living.
Right, right. But we have to be really clear. In our country,
yeah,
2 out of 3 Americans are overweight.
100%, 100%.
And it's not from eating sprouts.
No, no, it's not from eating sprouts.
So
it's from eating shit.
Yes.
That we produce, that we allow.
That we program them and
profit. Well, I don't know about program, but profit more.
No, program. When you
Well, yeah, you're getting programmed. But my point is like, I don't know that people are, you know, doing it on purpose, even though there's conspiracies that say, oh yeah, they are for your pharmaceuticals, et cetera. But the food we allow in America is not allowed in some countries.
That's right.
So it's like we allow us to eat some shitty stuff. Like to me, fast food restaurants, I can go to a fast food restaurant and eat healthy. You just throw away the bun, throw away the shit, da 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 da. But not as healthy as sprouts, of course. Well, nothing's healthier than raw, because I believe ultimately raw would be the healthiest of all.
I mean, you're a smart man.
Yeah, but like because there's no, number one, no animal fats. There's no, you know, meat.
No oil.
There was nothing living except plants.
Yeah. Well, let's go.
Nothing with a mother.
Nothing with a mother or a face.
Or a face. But again, I mean, you know, I tasted the sprouts last time you were here and, you know, they're all right. But like, I couldn't make a fucking meal out of them.
I brought some sprouts that we can make lunch for you.
I have my 6 meals a day planned. I just had my noon protein meal. So I'm not open for... Well, substitutions.
I'm not here to force you. I want to go back to something. Do you know how much the lowest grade hamburger meat would cost in this country if it weren't subsidized through the farm bill?
No.
$35 a pound. So that would mean a burger and quarter pounder would cost like over $10. So the reason, so you say there's no programming, there's lobbyists, there's marketing, there's advertising, there's food engineering, there's additives, preservatives, adding salt, oil, and sugar to make that explode in your brain like a drug.
Now what sprouts will do that?
Sprouts are designed for pure nutrition. See, right now, Brad Lee is abundant. Brad can schedule his 6 meals. He could have them all orchestrated with the highest quality, this and that, on the hour, and you just get to eat it. If you lived in a tent near Joshua Tree and you had to grow your own food, sprouts would look very appealing to you because otherwise you would starve.
No.
Yeah.
I'd leave the tent and find some food.
No, but
I would move away from Joshua Tree. Like, dude, this is what I understand about when they say, you know, there's all these starving people. Why don't they just move?
No. I mean,
that's supposed to be funny.
It's not funny.
Yeah.
I mean, Well, I'm going to ask you a question.
Well, if you're hungry, you could go find some food.
You could ask one of your fact checkers. Do you know how many people died in the Russian-Ukraine conflict to date?
2,980.
Now, get a fact checker on it. Under 100,000, right? We lost 10,000 people a day for the last 5 years of hunger and starvation.
Where?
Globally.
I know, but why?
Why? Because there's an asymmetry of wealth and nutrition. So what happens is for every calorie that's grown out of plants, 9 of those calories don't feed the hungry people. They feed cows. They feed chickens. And then, so there's 90% waste of agriculture almost globally. So the reason why they're hungry is they don't have access to clean water, clean nutrition.
Where are they living?
Predominantly third world. Africa, India.
And they're not able to plant food?
They're without access to clean water.
Well, why aren't you there helping them sprout?
It's one of the goals. It's one of the goals. Right now, I'm here, connecting with you and the bomb squad to bring some awareness to the fact that everything that you put in your mouth is a choice.
100%.
Right? And is a life or death decision for you, for the animal, or for some starving person in the third world.
Explain.
That if you choose to have a lighter footprint, you've heard the term lighter footprint?
Sure.
Right? So people are worried about taking a quick shower, right? You've heard that term, take a quick shower, don't be in there. The average showerhead is using 2.5 gallons per minute. It takes how many gallons of water to prepare one hamburger?
None.
1,500 gallons of water.
To feed the cow?
Grow the grain, feed the cow, water the cow until they could slaughter the cow. So.
Well, it should be more expensive then.
Subsidies, politics, lobbying, Washington, this is
rain. They're probably not paying for water.
No, most of it is they're basically, the reason why California is in a drought.
Keep in mind, we're 90% water on this earth.
90% water. Right. And do you know we're almost 90% water in our bodies?
Isn't that coincidental?
I think it's not even correlated.
It's coincidental.
Coincidental. So if we think about the global issues, if you were to make a choice and to adjust your lifestyle and your dollars to be thoughtful.
Yeah.
And I'm not telling you to become a philanthropist and give to the charities and the not-for-profits, because I don't believe in many of them.
I know, but I would say you're what's called a intellect. Would you say?
I think I'm intellectual. I wouldn't call myself per se an intellect. I'm a regular guy.
Yeah, but you're an intellect. You base everything off rational thought.
I got married.
Still.
That was emotional.
Yeah, but you're out in Joshua Tree. Getting married would be a good thing because now you got someone to hang with you.
Yeah, it was the Twilight Zone before.
Now, folks, if you've never been to Joshua Tree, by the way, it's just this big old magical desert where people find to do peyote and shit.
Well, it's a national park.
Are you doing ayahuasca and shit out there?
I've done ayahuasca.
Out there?
I've done it out there.
What about mushrooms?
Par for the cause. Have you done mushrooms?
Sure.
Have you done ayahuasca?
No.
What are you waiting for?
Never. I do not shit myself. Thank you.
That's why they make Depends.
Don't shit myself. Thank you.
The likely,
thank you for the offer. See, this is what most people don't get. See, like, I have no problem with everybody thinking one thing and I don't think the same thing. Like, in other words, I get ayahuasca can help you and it's a whole blah, 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 blah. Soon as I heard it makes you throw up and shit your pants, that's part of the ritual.
Yes.
I'm okay with never, ever doing that.
Yeah. See, that's where, Brad, you are so in your head.
No, I just don't care.
No.
I don't care to shit myself, Doug.
Well,
can shit yourself if you like. I'm not mad at you.
What if you end up shitting yourself without ayahuasca?
I won't shit myself without ayahuasca. And if I did, what would be the circumstance? And I would be highly upset about it.
Yeah. And you have kids.
Actually, I wouldn't be that upset about it because whatever made me shit my pants was probably my doing in the first place, like eating sprouts.
Sprouts have never made you shit your pants.
But I guarantee ayahuasca, you shit yourself, don't you?
No.
You didn't shit yourself.
Never shit myself.
Bullshit.
Then never. I threw
you
up.
You haven't done it right then.
No. I threw up. I purged.
Yeah, you got to shit yourself for it to work right.
No, that is not true. You know who shits himself?
Ask. You shit yourself if you do it right.
No, you shit yourself if you eat shit beforehand.
Well, again, maybe if you process and do the ritual correctly, you don't shit yourself.
Well,
everybody I've talked to said they shat themselves. Yeah. And I'm not a self-shatter.
Yeah, I have never shit my pants.
And quite frankly, dude, growing up, I did a ton of acid and I did a bunch of mushrooms. And I know what the whole trip's about. I hear it's way more than that, but I bet you it's just like that, just more intense.
No, I think who's ever been guiding you in psychedelic therapies has just been giving you misinformation.
Well, it's just people I've had on the podcast.
Yeah. There's nothing recreational about doing ayahuasca.
What's it for?
Ayahuasca is, if done correctly, like with a shaman in a closed container with the proper rituals, number one use of ayahuasca is for healing.
Healing what? Right.
Whether it's autoimmune disease, depression, addiction.
Well, again, if I were depressed or any of those things, I would try ayahuasca if that's what the supposed remedy was.
Yeah.
But I don't suffer from all those, so why would I do it?
I'm not here selling ayahuasca. I'm selling sprouts, okay? You brought up ayahuasca. I
know, but you're saying, like, you know, it's good for people.
Well, I'm saying if someone is doing it with the specific, let's just say you have someone.
Well, it won't be me. Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
I ain't doing that shit.
Right
I'll now. Eat sprouts.
Yeah, eat
sprouts. And I have eaten sprouts. And quite frankly, if I had sprouts at the house, I'd eat them, especially now that I'm on my new health kick.
Yeah, you look great, by the way.
Thank you. But I wouldn't only eat sprouts. I would just also eat sprouts. So, like, I drink egg whites in the morning, but they're chocolate flavored. This company called Muscle Egg, for all those buffies out there. Muscle Egg is just flavored egg whites. So literally I can take a glass of egg whites, boom, and I'm done. It's so easy. Sprouts are very similar. You just freaking grab a handful. It's just they're harder to chew and, you know,
you
swallow.
You can like, blend them.
Do you like the taste of them or no? You have to learn to like it.
When you remove salt, oil, sugar from your diet, within 2 weeks, you get all new taste buds. And when you have those new taste buds, every single sprout is bursting with flavor.
Is it delicious?
I feel like I'm attracted to it. It's almost like, let's just go down the normal path.
So what if you were hungry and there was the only thing that around was a fucking IHOP? Period.
I would find water.
No, there's no food and you know you're not going to survive unless you eat at IHOP.
Let me just say, I would survive better without IHOP. You could go 40
maybe long
days.
Term.
No, even the immediate future.
No. Shitty food is better than no food, bro.
According to
Science?
No. For how long?
Like, a long period of time, I said.
Like what, 40 days?
No, like 4 years.
4 years. The only thing was IHOP.
If 4 years, the only thing was IHOP or not eating, you would eat fucking IHOP.
I would dissect what the ingredients were.
You would eat IHOP.
No way. Because
you'd have to, or you'd die. You'd perish. Now, long term, eating IHOP 40 years over Sprouts, I think you have the advantage.
Yeah. I mean, these hypothetical arguments are
fun, though.
They're fun. Let's talk about something else.
Okay. Let's talk about meditation.
Oh, before we go to meditation, because this will, if your mind, do you watch pornography, Brad?
No.
Have you ever watched pornography? Sure. So if you watched pornography.
I should say on occasion, but no, not really.
But if you watched pornography every single day, and that was your source of sexual education, right? Let's just say you did it for a year. Then you meet a normal woman. You can't even imagine, like, she's not going to be able to do what the special effects are in the pornography, the moves, like the whole thing. So what happens is the kids, the teenage boys in particular, who are there watching excessive amounts of pornography, cannot have a normal relationship. They become erectile dysfunctional as teenagers when put in an instance with a normal woman. They can't get turned on because they're used to seeing 18 boobs, this level of pink, this kind of movement, and the normal activity, which should turn them on, which is a little kiss, a little stroke, just doesn't do it for them. So that's what happened to you. You had that big T-bone, you had this flavoring, you had the IHOP with the extra syrup on it. You have all of this stimulation.
Or like blueberry crepes.
Blueberry crepes, which is mostly sugar.
With whipped cream.
Yeah, fat.
Loveliness.
Right? So the salt, oil, sugar, fat triggers.
The good stuff.
What they're doing is they are triggering the primal urges, like in nature, growing up over millennium, we didn't have access to abundant amounts of food. So when food was there and there was fat in it and it was sweet, we would eat, fatten up and prepare for the famine because we didn't know where that next meal was coming from. You know exactly where your next meal is coming from. You know what's going to be in it. You can even tell you even know what it's going to taste like because it's all engineered. So if you didn't know that and the first food you had were Sprouts, then you'd love Sprouts because you'd be hungry. You eat Sprouts. You're hungry. You eat Sprouts. So for me, I'm not telling you or anyone just eat Sprouts. What I'm saying is if you become a little more aware of where your food came from, like, do you know where the egg yolks and chocolate came from that you're like guzzling in the morning?
No.
Do you think it matters?
It might.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it matters to who?
I mean, ultimately to you.
Not really. Doesn't really matter to me.
Do you know why they call heart disease the silent killer?
Because no one talks about it?
No.
Why?
There's no warning. And then.
Do you think I have heart disease?
I think that what you're eating would scare the shit out of me.
Well, you, yes. But the normal person, hell no, dude. People wish they could eat like me. I'm freaking flawless. My nutrition's on point. Other than meat-based. Well, I don't eat garbage, dude. Now, I will throw a little garbage in there sometimes, I gotta say. You know, like, I'll throw a little sugar-free barbecue sauce. Well, again, you really look at what's in that barbecue sauce with the freaking monoglutinal hydrates and the, you know, color 5, number 2 dye and all the shit that goes in those. I probably shouldn't be eating it compared to some fucking fresh organic fruits and nuts and shit like that. But that's not realistic for me, dude.
How are your poops?
Wonderful.
How many a day?
One.
Do they feel good?
Great.
So
almost wish they'd just keep going.
Do you use a bidet?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
I didn't see a bidet.
Well,
I saw a glory
there
hole
there
in your bathroom here.
There ain't a bidet here.
You got it.
I rarely, if any, take a squat here at work.
Do you squat or do you sit on the bowl?
I sit on the toilet.
Yeah. As a minimum, get a squatty potty.
What do? You shit like a silverback gorilla.
No. I squat. I squat more like a chimpanzee than a silverback.
Well, is that better for you?
Squatting, you get a greater evacuation of the bowels in a squat position.
Squat like just bend down, put your butt on your heels?
Yeah, exactly. That's where, I mean, there's commercial products.
Where are you squatting on?
I get up on the bowl.
You have a squatty potty?
No, you can have a squatty potty. I just get up on the bowl. It's more stable for me.
You mean if someone were to see you taking a dump, your feet would be on the lid?
My feet would be, well, I lift the lid and I just sit on the crown.
Yeah, but the crown or where your feet are?
Yeah.
And you're just squatted down?
That's right.
That'd be hilarious to watch. So if somebody's at a stall at a public restroom, would they see your feet
no.
go up?
It would look like the Invisible Man was next door.
They wouldn't see your feet go up?
I mean, they might see the feet go up, go down, but if they looked under the stall to see if someone was in there, they would think there was no one there.
How long have you been doing that?
20 years.
You think Jesse Isler does the same thing?
No, I think he's probably more conservative in his pooping.
Dude, Jesse Isler's who you remind me of.
Yeah, he's my buddy. I love that guy.
Dude, Jesse Isler's hilarious. He probably loves the whole sprouting thing.
He loves the sprouts. He loves fruit. He eats a lot of fruit. He's pretty clean.
Real clean. You ever watch, you follow him?
A little bit. I don't consume a lot.
He's got like special chefs that come in and freaking do banana stuff, and it's all healthy shit.
Well, that's how I met Jesse.
But goddamn, dude, don't you ever want a steak?
No.
Don't you ever want like a milkshake?
Have you
ever had a donut?
I've had donuts. The milkshakes we make are like exponentially better than the milkshakes that you experience. The milkshakes we make, we get fresh coconuts. We chop them open. We pour the coconut water in. We scoop the coconut meat. We take fresh, whole vanilla bean right from...
I'd love to taste one, but
fresh
we'll see.
Vanilla bean.
I doubt it's better than a freaking chocolate milkshake.
Well, actually, we could put raw cacao in there. So raw chocolate. So you have a chocolate, vanilla, coconut milkshake with no added salt, oil, sugar, processed, where we know where all the ingredients come from.
Have you had a colonoscopy?
No.
Why?
A one-way street.
What do you mean?
Like nothing needs to go up there.
Well, that's how I feel about ayahuasca. I don't need to shit myself.
Let's talk about meditation.
You know, they call that the silent killer too.
What?
Cancer, ass cancer.
Yeah, prostate cancer, colon cancer.
Dude, there's people that are just functioning 100%, no fever, no headaches, no nothing. Bang, one day they feel shitty, they go in, boom, stage 4 colon cancer. They should have had a fucking colonoscopy.
Yeah.
Because if they can get in there and notice any kind of situation in the beginning, they can actually cure that shit. They can fix it. But if you don't check and you just assume you're, you know, perfect because you've been eating sprouts this whole time, you could end up with cast cancer.
How much
just like old Steve Jobs, he was pretty healthy eater, wasn't he?
He was also exposed to very toxic chemicals and metals in his career when he was welding before they had all the safety mechanisms when he was doing the printer control boards. He was exposed to a lot of toxic things in his life.
Do you think sprouts could detoxify people?
We know for a fact that benzene, which comes from burning certain chemicals, can be detoxified through eating broccoli sprouts. We know that for a fact. I can send you the white papers on that.
So for those of people listening that are interested in sprouting, because, you know, everyone should be if they're into their health, but if they're interested in sprouting, how would one get started sprouting other than buy your book, by the way? The Sprout Book, folks. The Sprout Book, number one best-selling book to the vegans, right?
And the vegetarians.
And the vegetarians.
And actually the meat eaters.
And even meat eaters.
Yeah. I mean, there are serious meat eaters like Ben Greenfield and Juju Mufu that have now
incorporated. What's a serious meat eater?
Like, they don't eat a lot of vegetables. Like, they look.
That would be me then. I'm a serious meat eater.
They look ketogenic. They look like caveman, paleo.
What'd you have for breakfast?
I haven't eaten anything yet today. Because I want to come here being hungry.
Are you hungry?
No, I'm just drinking water. I'm fine.
How long till you get hungry?
It's all psychological.
Whenever you eat, do you feel satisfied?
I'm never satisfied.
Do you ever feel full?
Never. I walk around like a starving lion, fiercely searching for my next meal.
Well, then why don't you just pick up a cheeseburger?
I like the feeling of hunger.
Well, again, there is something to say about that. I said that to the guy the other day. He says, dude, you know, because I eat six times a day.
Yeah.
And all I said, but, you know, they're small portions. Yeah. Maybe 6 ounces of chicken breasts, 5 ounces of greens. That's meal one. Meal two, meal three, same thing, but just different meat, whatever. Same macros. Well, if I were to try, I was going to tell a story, but now I have another question. If I were going to try to replace 6 ounces of chicken with sprouts and get the same protein, what sprouts would I be eating?
Garbanzo beans. Like, 1 cup of garbanzo beans is over 20 grams of protein.
So I would have to have two cups of garbanzo beans
or 6 ounces beans of chicken. Or peas or lentils.
Or 6 ounces of chicken.
Yeah.
Dipped in sugar-free honey mustard.
Do you know how much fiber? Let me ask you a question. This is not a trick question, okay? What has the most fiber? Meat, chicken, fish, or cheese?
Out of chicken, what'd you say?
Meat, like red meat,
yeah.
Chicken, fish, or cheese, dairy.
Fiber?
Fiber.
Out of those, I would have to say cheese.
No.
What?
Animal products have no fiber.
That's what I said. I thought you said which one has the most fiber.
Yeah, which has the most?
And cheese.
You said cheese. Cheese has no fiber.
Do fish?
No.
Does meat?
No.
So none of them have fiber?
No have fiber.
So which one has the most?
They have none. It's all, like, that's why it's not a trick question.
That is a trick question.
You could call it a trick.
To be one that would be the most if it wasn't a trick.
Okay, it was a trick question. Okay. So do you know how important fiber is?
How important is fiber? If you don't have it, I hear you got some issues.
Yeah, 95% of America is fiber deficient.
Where do you get the best fiber?
Best fiber? Fruits.
So you eat oranges, there's fiber in there?
Oranges have fiber.
What about watermelon?
Watermelon has fiber.
Dude, I eat a watermelon every day.
That's good. Good man. How is that keto?
Who said I'm on keto?
I'm happy to have some watermelon with you. You have organic watermelon?
No, I just have watermelon, but it's not here.
Do you care whether it's organic or not?
I personally don't, because half the ones that say organic aren't anyway.
Where do you have that information?
What do you mean?
Like, why would you say that?
Google it. How many people say organic shit's organic when it's not organic?
So you're saying you go to Whole Foods. It has
my wife has the groceries delivered from, I think, depending on what's being delivered, Whole Foods and or a grocery store.
So you're telling me that certified organic watermelon from Whole Foods with the certified sticker on it and traceability, you're saying 50% of that is not organic?
Yeah.
I think you're spreading misinformation.
Google it.
What do you think Google?
I read a whole article. Well, you're smarter than Google?
I'm just saying my information
is better than Google?
Maybe a little bit deeper.
What makes you think so, though? Google's got tons of information. Doesn't make it true, I agree.
Yeah, Google has a lot of misinformation.
Well, again, maybe untrue, but I'm just saying I read on Google an article that and I don't remember what percentage, but a lot of those companies that say organic this, organic that, organic syrup, organic eggs, organic chicken, when they go and look, it's not actually organic in the way you think organic. They're just saying it's organic, which again, truth in advertising violations. Have you ever saw the movie, I forget what it's called, but it's about, you know, the
Food Inc.
slaughterhouses, and like it shows like you do not, maybe Food Inc. it was, or something about a spoon. I don't remember, but
forks over knives.
Forks over knives.
Yeah. So love that movie.
They said the same thing. They said, just because it says organic doesn't mean it's organic.
Yeah. I think that
organic to me means no pesticides, no nothing. The motherfucker grew all by itself.
Yeah. A lot of the things that are in packages, you should be wary of. Produce that's coming from the farm, more likely to be straight organic.
Unless they were sprayed.
Yeah, if they're sprayed, then they wouldn't be certified organic.
When you get blueberries, do you wash them first?
No.
You just nail them. Where do you shop in Joshua Tree?
The farmer's market.
How far away is it from your house?
35 minutes.
So you got to drive 35 minutes.
Once a week.
Once a week, and you load up, I bet. They love to see you coming.
I mean, I'm like you. I eat a whole watermelon. I eat some berries. I eat the fruit that's in season, and then the vegetables are sprouts that we grow.
But I can tell you, if I was hungry and all I ate was fruit, it would take a lot of fruit to satisfy my hunger.
That is an irrational belief.
Like, you know those little smarty oranges? They're called cuties or smarties.
Yeah, you can eat 20 of them.
Yeah, I'll rack 20 of those and I'm still hungry.
Yeah, because it's mostly water.
But so, how many damn oranges can you eat?
I'm not telling you to eat oranges for your food source.
What would you eat?
Well, avocados are a fruit. Did you know that?
Yeah, but like, you know, what are you supposed to eat? Three avocados?
Why not?
Three avocados?
Ask my wife.
How many do you eat?
I could eat three avocados, no problem.
Do you have special recipes for them, or you just eat them plain?
I like avocados with my sprouts, with my tahini, which is the sesame seed paste. And I make a salad, and I can easily have three avocados in there if I want to feel fuller.
How come you don't have a restaurant down at your Starry Night Village?
Just not my thing. Been there, done that.
By the way, folks, if you guys want to go stay in Joshua Tree, what is it called?
Wonder Valley Hot Springs.
Wonder Valley Hot Springs. You've got little cabins out there.
Yeah, private hot springs. Great views of the stars, the Milky Way, the galaxy. Every house is at least 500 feet from another house.
Living.
Yeah, a lot of privacy.
So that's why I said granola head. Now, a granola head, is that a derogatory term?
It's not quite complimentary.
Why?
Is meathead a complimentary term? Oh, he's a meathead?
Yeah, I mean, if it meant I ate a lot of meat, I'd say I'm a meathead.
Meathead is kind of close to shithead.
Granola head means that like you eat healthy shit.
I mean, relative to being a meathead, I'd rather be a granola head, but I don't eat granola.
You won't eat granola either?
No.
Why?
A lot of granola is sweetened, artificially sweetened, and it's cooked, hard to digest.
Dude, so you just don't want anything with flavor.
I like things plain.
What about raisins?
Raisins could be good.
Could be?
Could be. Yeah, I don't eat a lot of dried fruit like raisins. I eat dates. I like dates.
What about
raisins.
Figs?
I love figs.
Do you have figs?
Yeah, I brought some fresh figs for you.
What do you mean fresh?
Non-dry fig, like an apple.
I've never had a fig.
You've never had a fig? You wait a second.
I mean, I've had fig Newtons.
You're going to fucking love figs.
Dude, I've had prunes. Folks, I don't know. He's heading to get some figs, apparently. And by the way, all kidding aside, you know, I would highly suggest people listening check into the sprouting world. Because number one, if you get into sprouting, not only do you have a much more healthy option, but you have a much more sustainable option if shit hits the fan. You know what I'm saying? People are like, Brad, what do you mean shit hits the fan? Well, you know, where food becomes scarce. Where food becomes scarce. What do you got here?
Figs.
Let's see. Okay. What do you want me to do?
Bite the fucking fig.
Like, is there, do you eat the skin? Yeah, it's pretty good.
You want another one?
Let me give you a good one. I mean, are they good? How do you know?
Yeah, this is a good one. It's a feeling thing. This is an even better one. You could eat two at a time.
No, that one's too squishy.
All right.
It tastes like
a fig Newton.
It tastes like a bland kiwi. They don't taste anything like fig Newtons.
A lot of fiber in there.
It tastes like a bland kiwi.
You couldn't eat 20 of those.
These?
Yeah.
Sure I could.
Okay, good. So that's the thing.
But I'd still be hungry.
I guarantee.
Is that your lunch?
That's my mid-afternoon snack.
So on your drive back, you'll reach over and just start nailing figs.
Yeah. I mean, not too many to nail that'll go like that. I have a watermelon in the trunk, so I'm going to fillet that, and I'll eat that driving back.
Dude, watermelon, I can eat that shit all day.
Does watermelon fill you up?
No.
So when does the Brad brain stop eating watermelon?
When it's gone.
So why don't you have two?
Because that's excessive.
According to?
Me.
And what is the basis of your...
I just ate a whole watermelon.
Well, what if it's a small watermelon?
Well, I do get the small seedless ones, but still, once it's gone, it's gone. And besides that, how many watermelons do you think I got at my house? 18?
I mean...
And I have eaten two in a row. And the reason I stopped is because we were out. But like last night, I carved a watermelon, you know, where you like take the rind off and you just got a ball of watermelon. And I chopped it up and I said, I'm going to eat half of this. And I put the other half away. And by the time I was done with the first half, I went and snatched the second half.
Good job.
It's like freaking delicious, dude. Yeah.
Well, we're going to spend a day.
It's got to be cold, though.
Maybe.
It's better cold.
Maybe.
For me.
When it's cold, you don't really get to taste all the flavors.
Now, people are probably thinking, dude, what the fuck is this episode about? Well, here, let me tell you. Number one, in case you haven't figured it out. Doug Sprouts, he's a foremost leading expert on the sprouting movement, right?
Yes.
Number one best-selling sprouting book. You're on all kinds of podcasts talking about sprouts. Usually you have more serious hosts that are trying to get to the bottom of something, not just shooting the shit like me. But at the end of the day, dude, you're all over the place with the sprouting game.
Yeah.
Why should somebody sprout versus not sprout?
So sprouts, great question. Great question. So number one, vegetables and fruit can take weeks or months or years to grow. And all the data, whether it's coming out of Harvard or Johns Hopkins or USDA, FDA, recommends 7 to 13 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. Like that is the recommendation from US dietary guidelines, 7 to 13 servings. And a serving's like a fistful. Right, 8 ounces. The average American is consuming less than one, right? So sprouts are vegetables that you can grow in your own home in days without soil, without sunshine, without fertilizer, without pesticides, and you're growing your own vegetables.
You just need water.
You just need water and a glass jar. And I was growing all of my food in 1 cubic foot using 6 to 8 jars for a month, and I'm just eating sprouts. And sprouts contain every single micronutrient, phytonutrient, polyphenol, bioflavonoid, antioxidant, soluble, insoluble fiber, all of the amino acids to form complete proteins, they are all in sprouts. So sprouts are the perfect, most nutritious food. and they're affordable. If you go buy sprouts because you're abundant, you go to Whole Foods, $3, $5, $7 a pack. If you grow them, you're on your own. It's pennies a serving. So I was living
on... How much is it a pack, though?
The seeds?
Yeah, don't switch. You said $3 a pack to pennies a serving. Well, apples to apples here, Junior.
No. If you were to buy a serving of sprouts...
Or grow a serving of sprouts.
A serving of sprouts costs, say, $5. A serving of seeds that will grow into that serving of sprouts, 30 cents.
Okay.
So 30 cents worth of seeds will grow more than $5 worth of vegetables in days.
Well, it grows the sprouts, doesn't grow the vegetable.
Sprouts are vegetables.
I know, but broccoli sprout is not broccoli.
It's a baby broccoli.
I know, but it's not broccoli.
It's better than broccoli.
I'm not debating that. I'm just saying it's not broccoli. Broccoli sprout.
Is your kid a human being or
it's
just
not
a kid?
It's the same thing.
What's the difference?
Well, the difference is one is a broccoli sprout.
Right.
One is a fully developed broccoli.
Yeah. What's the difference?
One's a sprout.
What's in between your now 5-year-old little girl and you? 5-year-old girl.
Well, right
now,
nothing. But let's say embryonic. Then, you think an embryo is a human?
We're talking about a seed. A broccoli seed is different than garden stage broccoli.
Yes.
Right. That seed has.
We'll turn into that. I get it.
Yeah, that seed has enzyme inhibitors on it. It has trypsins. And when you soak that seed, it germinates and it goes through a transformation like a caterpillar into a butterfly. And so...
And you get to watch it?
You could watch it, yeah. You could do time lapse and watch it. It's fascinating watching it happen because it's so quickly. Like literally, it will grow 10 times its size in under a week.
How do you know when it's time to chow down?
So this is new information to you. The broccoli seeds are edible. The broccoli sprouts are edible on any day from day 1 through day 7. After day 7, they've consumed all of the energy supply that was built into the endosperm of the seed, and at which point you either have to eat it or transfer it into soil and add fertilizer so it continue growing.
So you're going to eat endosperm?
Yeah. I mean...
That'll be a reason a lot of people don't do it just based on that.
Well, the endosperm is the precursor to that.
No, I get it. Now, where I was driving at for the viewing listeners of how healthy sprouting is for you,
yeah.
How much energy you'll regain, how you'll cut the risk of cancer and problems, and because I'm sure that's the truth.
Yeah.
So what is that? Like, what is the benefit of eating sprouts?
So number one, sprouts are vegetables, and we can debate whether they're the same.
Yeah, they're vegetables.
You're just busting my balls. Yeah. I got it.
They're vegetables.
Number two, sprouts are vitamins and minerals. We covered that.
Sure. They contain them.
They contain them. Well, they are them.
Okay.
And number three, sprouts are medicine. There are more than 2,000 published white papers on the medicinal properties of sprouts for their anti-cancer properties for treating autism, that there's a compound, glucoraphanin, that's in the broccoli sprouts that is the precursor to sulforaphane. And then when you give someone who has autism the broccoli sprouts, it creates heat shock proteins, which lessen the symptoms of someone who has autism. I mean, it's amazing. They can detoxify benzene from the lungs. Sprouts are the number one food for regulating insulin levels for people with type 2 diabetes because they are high fiber, high micronutrient, low fat. So they're perfect for regulating insulin levels and for weight loss. Like if someone was hungry, they would eat sprouts, eat sprouts until they were no longer hungry, right? You cannot overeat sprouts. You can overeat watermelon. You can overeat steak. You can overeat French fries and potato chips.
Why can you not overeat sprouts?
They are so nutritious and there's no added food engineering to them that when the body is done, it actually will say, okay, Brad, chill out on the sprouts. You're done. You don't need them anymore. When you have things that are engineered for overeating, like it's even in the advertisement, Lay's potato chips, you can't eat just one because they've engineered the oil and the salt and the potato so that it is highly addictive. Sprouts are not highly addictive. They're just highly nutritious.
Mm.
What do you think of that?
I think it makes sense. It's just, again, to sacrifice all the flavor and goodness of regular food.
So we're going to go into our meditation now.
All right.
You ready to meditate?
Well, so, again, I don't know. Okay. I have to hear about it.
I'm going to use a timer. We're going to set a few minutes here. So we're going to do.
We can't do that. We can't stay silent for 3 minutes, dude. Okay, people will jump off the show.
Leave. Okay. So why don't we do this?
Why don't you explain to people how to meditate so someone that's interested will try it?
Okay. So one of the meditation, there's all sorts of meditation. The meditation that I do has been taught over centuries, and the basic goal of the meditation is to become more responsive, not reactive, right? To be able to calm the mind so that I can make more intelligent, better decisions and eliminate suffering from my life. So if you think about this, pain is inevitable. Do you know anyone that's died?
Yeah.
Have you ever suffered a loss, parent, friend, neighbor? Did that create misery for you?
No.
Were you depressed?
No.
Were you upset?
No.
Does anything upset you?
Not really.
Okay. So you are at a level where you have so much armor around you and you have so much adrenaline that doesn't matter. Like you can just survive normal circumstance. Do you know people that are emotional, that cry, sure, that get upset, that are grieving?
Sure. Okay. Most people do that. I just realized you got to understand people die.
Yeah.
So once you understand people die, of course it's sad when people die. Of course it's not good. But if you have any kind of belief in the afterlife, well, then aren't they headed to a better place? So what are you sad for? You're just going to miss them. So when I hear of people and see people that I know die, I'm almost like happy for them because they get to go there first. And I know I'll see them soon. At least we hope.
Is that what you believe? You really believe you're going to go to another place and you're going to see these people?
I believe that our energy cannot be terminated. I think we have energy, and that energy will continue.
Do you think there's other energetic beings in this room with us right now?
I don't know. I'm seeking. I think you are energy, though. We all are energy. And again, if we want to get deep about it, like, is there space between us?
Yeah.
There isn't. There is zero space between anything. Like I am connected to this water in that phone. Well, wait a minute. There's space. No. What is oxygen touching this? Is oxygen touching me? Well, then aren't we just in this room filled with oxygen and whatever else is in here? And we're just part of it because it's all part of us. Because it is, number one. Number two, there is no space between us because between me and you, there is air. There is oxygen. There is whatever's, you know, air. So right now, imagine air being a thing. You're in air. I'm in air. The air is touching both of us. If you looked at that ball of air with people in it, you'd be like, that's all one solid piece.
Yeah, that's what the astronauts said when they looked at the Earth from space. It just looked like one big blue marble, and they couldn't see any borders, any division. Everything was just one body, and they could discern between the land and the water mass. But otherwise, it was just one big blue marble. So, do you believe in destiny, or do you believe in free will?
Free will.
Free will. So you create your own destiny.
100%.
And there's no circumstances outside of your free willing?
What do you mean? Of course there is.
So how does that work?
There's shit you can control and there's shit you can't control.
So that's destiny.
No.
All the shit you can't control, what is it?
That's randomness.
Random, but isn't it someone else's?
Well, if someone got hit by a car, you say that's their destiny? No, that's what happened to them.
But that was someone else's free will.
What
was? That caused that. They got hit by the car. Who was the driver of the car?
What are you talking about, dude? You said that's destiny.
Well, someone else's energy, their free will, wasn't just random. Someone decided to have that drink, to drink and drive, to go.
And someone decided to get in their car and go get hit. But I get you. But point being is that's not destiny. That's free will. So could you have controlled not getting hit by a car?
Could you have controlled it?
Yeah. Like not had the drink, not chose to drove.
Well.
Not chose to go that direction. Not chose to go at that exact second.
Will.
Isn't it?
The free will component would mean that you could navigate this world entirely. And
I believe we can.
You can.
And I have done so far. Have you?
I'm here.
What do you mean? Is it destiny?
I think it's part destiny.
Do you think it's like this would have happened no matter what?
I think that when I reached out to you, that was me initiating free will.
That's right.
You engaging was destiny.
No, it's free will too.
Your free will is my destiny. My decisions are my free will.
Okay, I'm confused. Either way, what's the point with destiny and free will?
Well, it's just the question that you were saying before that the starving people, that why don't they just go get food?
Yeah, like again, if I'm hungry, I'm going to go in search of food. I'm not just going to sit there and die.
But you
in the same location. Now, again, if they're dying on the way to search for food, that makes sense because, you know, they're migrating, they're trying to find food. But when people say like there's people starving all over the earth, why don't people show up with the freaking waste that America has? Well, you go to a McDonald's dumpster, it's filled with food. Like send sprouts over there, send, you know, seeds over there so they can grow their own food. Well, they can't grow food in Africa. Yes, you can. There's shit that grows in Africa.
I think what we should do is we should go on a field trip.
One of these days, I think I will.
We should. Like, because
if you go there and you realize, oh, this is why they can't plant corn, and this is why they can't plant tomatoes, and this is why they can't plant sprouts and grow sprouts. Oh, they don't have any clean water. Well, then let's solve that problem. Because again, if I live someplace that had no clean water, I'd move to where there was clean water.
Right. I mean, we don't have to go to Africa. Go to Flint, Michigan. Their water looks like
I would not live in Flint, Michigan.
The people who live in Flint, Michigan.
They're choosing to remain in Flint, Michigan.
I mean, I really think you should take dropping bombs with your positive attitude and encourage people to leave Flint, Michigan and show them where to go. Help guide them. Maybe you could do that Eddie Murphy trading places.
Hey, there's anywhere to go that has clean water. You know how many people moved from Flint, Michigan?
I have no idea. I've never been to Flint, Michigan.
I'll bet you a bunch. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Some decided not to. Now, they can have their excuses as to why they couldn't. They couldn't afford it. This, that, and the other thing. You know, easy for me to say, I'm rich, blah, 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 blah. It's still a decision. regardless. They're deciding to stay in Flint, Michigan, where the water may be poor. Well, that's, again, guys, move. Like,
yeah,
stop bullshitting yourself.
I really think we need to do trading places. Like, take all of
Brett. Oh, I'd freaking love it, dude.
Yeah. I think that would be really, and that.
And
that,
guess what? I would move out of Flint, Michigan.
Immediately.
Well, again, I mean, obviously I'd have to see my circumstances. Like, some people may not be able to move because they don't have any money, but guess what? I can figure out some way, some grandpa, grandma, hard work, side work, lawn work, whatever. I need to get X amount of dollars so I can get me and my family out of here. Now, I have to deal with bad water until I can do that, but I'm going to do that. I wouldn't sit there and say, Doug, I'm unemployed. I don't have a job. I don't know what I should do. Okay. No, I'll go find work. I'll go solve problems. I'll go earn money. I'll go beg money. And if I had to, I'll fucking steal it. I'm getting the hell out of Flint, Michigan.
You would steal
one way or another.
Okay.
At some point, yeah, I would.
But there's risk.
Dude, so what? I'm not hanging around no water and no food. That's my point. My point is everything in my mind, everything that happens to us, in most cases, is because of the choices we made. Someone says, well, no, this baby wasn't born with a choice to be starving in Africa. I understand that. Baby obviously isn't born with, or doesn't have a choice where they're born. But I'm talking about the ones that are older now, and they realize there's not a lot of clean water. You know, we have to, you know, wash our clothes in the river, and the river's dirty now. And like, it's just poverty. Big poverty, right? Either we go in and help them, right? And clean up their water and show them how to plant and show them how to grow and let them stay there. Or we move them to places where there are water. There is water.
But do you know what happens? Like,
or they move themselves, which is the best way to do it. Because again, all they'd have to do is get up, grab their shit and start walking another direction. And until they find clean water, they don't stop.
Yeah. I mean, you see what's happening with coming over the border from Mexico. This episode's going to
get all kinds of hate, by the way.
Oh, my God. I mean, okay, let's go back to nutrition.
Well, how about meditation?
Meditation.
Yeah, because again, I have thought about meditating. Everyone that I know that meditates says that it's freaking unbelievable, but I've never really meditated. Now, I have turned on the little mind app or whatever it's called. I forget what it's called, but you know, and you know, listen to the binaural beats and just feel like I'm floating in clouds. And I've gotten to a place very quickly where I'm just floating in clouds. I don't care about this and I don't care about that. And I can literally zone out to where I'm thinking about nothing but floating in clouds. And then I'll, you know, allow myself to imagine a serene high mountain lake with an eagle flying slowly over the lake. Just peaceful. Wonderful. I've done that. Is that meditating?
I mean, that sounds like an experience. The meditation that I do is silent, where I'm observing the sensations in my body. It's like right now I'm observing the balls of my feet resting on the floor. I'm observing my pants resting on my quadriceps. I'm observing my tension in my back as I'm sitting up, as opposed to slouching in the comfortable slouch position. So I'm observing tension and effort in my back. And now, as I'm observing, like, I have an itch on the top of my head, like I really want to scratch. I feel my glasses wanting to slide down my nose.
Is that being observant or meditating?
No. That's what I'm doing, is I'm becoming present to this human form, right? I'm being in my body. Many people are in their head. And what I'm doing is I'm observing what's going on inside, and I'm observing the sensations. And part of them, I mentioned, like, I really want to scratch my head, but I'm observing it. I'm not reacting to that. And so part of what the meditation does for me is I get to observe, what am I feeling? What am I craving? right? Sometimes I craving certain things, right? I had a great example. I called someone and they said that they weren't interested and I didn't feel that I was heard. So I called them back and they said, what do you want? And I said, well, I feel like our conversation got cut short and I didn't have an opportunity to fully express myself. So they hung up. So then I called again and then they yelled at me and I was just observing calmly. And then my natural instinct was to call a fourth time, whether I was glutton for punishment or I wanted to do it. And then I said, let me meditate on this. And I said, the knowledge that I have from selling is that at this point, I'm now wasting my time. And I'm going to move on. But there was a real, like, almost addictive behavior to wanting to call back because I knew he's answering the phone. And, like, I was wanting to get through. And that's one part. You talk about the bitch voice. It's 120 degrees near Joshua Tree today. 120 degrees. I get up and I look at my running shoes and it's air con option in the house. Like we can turn on air conditioning. It's hot outside. I look at the shoes. No part of me wants to put on the shoes and go run. And I'm aware that no part of me wants to do it. And that's where you're meditating when you're taking the boss voice, dominating the bitch voice. That's Brad meditating.
Well, then I meditate constantly.
Meditate constantly. It becomes you are aware that you are not the monkey mind. So meditation allows you to observe the monkey mind and not let that collective mind of bullshit interfere with you executing on your goals. So meditation would help people that are eating junk food, addicted to junk food, if they became aware and they go, is eating this pint of ice cream going to serve me or not? And actually have that conversation. And, you know, there's many voices in the head. The bitch voice is just one of them, right? There's the starving kid. There's the hurt child. There's all of this stuff going on. The meditation helps you define who the real Bradley is.
Mm.
Like when you meditate, you become the master of your fate.
Well, I might have to try that. Of course, again, based on your description, I'm already doing it masterfully.
Well, I think you you are where you are because of personal mastery. If you dig in deeper, you potentially could achieve more.
Oh, for sure.
Right.
1,000%. No arguing there.
Like what's holding you back?
From what?
Like where else could you be?
Everywhere.
When you're saying 1,000%, you're agreeing with me. You know, let's be really open and honest here. Where else could you be? What's holding you back?
I would have to go back in the past. Nothing's holding me back. I would have to go back in the past and change things that I did and decided in order to accelerate what happened. Otherwise, all I can do is live with what happened. It's already happened and why I'm here where I'm at, which, by the way, is not a bad place to be. However, I know I had more in me than I gave. I was smarter than I acted. I could have done many smarter moves, which would have put me way ahead of where I'm at right now financially. But again, that's the past. I can't change that. So what do? I don't focus on it. I focus on the now.
And now, is anything holding you back now?
No.
So where will Bradley be in 5 years?
Probably retired.
How old are you now? 56?
Three.
53. Young man. So 5 years, 58 when you'll be retired.
Or before, yeah.
What are you going to do as retired?
Just invest and help people get theirs.
That's
maybe,
good.
Maybe do some movie making or something.
That's not retired. Making movies are hard.
Nah, not for the money guy. Money guy just writes a check.
So back to the meals. Last time we spoke, you asked me about broccoli sprouts, and you said if they're that freaking good, you should eat some. How many servings have you had in the last 2 years?
None.
So how we get you in integrity? How do we get you in integrity where you're at least eating a serving of broccoli sprouts every day?
I would have to have them.
Okay. Does that mean we need to show your wife how to make it? Your daughter, how's your vegan daughter? How old is she now?
36, 37.
She's still vegan?
Mm-hmm.
Why did she become vegan?
She loves animals.
Do you love animals?
Sure.
I'm not saying loving to eat them, but do you love them?
Yeah.
But you're able to distinguish between loving them and eating them.
Clearly. If I thought going vegan would stop all animal cruelty in the world, I would go vegan. Because I don't want animals being mistreated. I don't want animals being slaughtered and killed and scared and shot in the head and maimed and clubbed and all the shit that happens. Ground up. I don't want that. But I also realize I'm not the one doing it personally. And me buying a pack of hamburgers at the store is not going to make a difference. So again, if everyone said, hey, we're all going to stop, so they stop slaughtering animals, I don't think they'd still stop. In other words, I, and everyone's going to say, hey, everyone thought that way. Exactly. That's my point, folks. I'm a realist. Okay. I don't fuck around with stupidity. If there's a game that you cannot win, I don't play. Like at the end of the day, I can't stop animal cruelty. Okay. I can speak up. I can get loud. I can make my opinion felt, but I can't stop it. And if I can't stop it, you've had bacon, right?
I've had bacon. Yeah.
It's wonderful. So if I sit there and see a dude with some bacon and I eat it, I'm not contributing. Okay. That pig was already dead. That bacon was already cooked.
I'm not
slaughtering pigs to eat bacon.
But you're creating the demand for it. If you didn't buy it.
If I didn't, everybody else still eats bacon. That's my point.
Do you know what the number one...
It's not me. You can't put the collective world on me.
Do you know what food industry, big industry, is suffering today in the United States?
No.
Dairy. Dairy farms are going out of business.
Which they should, shouldn't they?
They should, yeah.
I don't even think we need milk.
Right. Well, if you see a separate...
I call it boob juice.
Yeah. Do you know how many pus cells are in a glass of milk?
No, I don't drink milk.
Yeah. But the dairy industry...
Although milk on a bowl of cereal is a must.
Yeah. And Americans are choosing soy milk, hemp milk, oat milk,
almond milk
over cow milk. Like the traditional cow milk and dairy industry is suffering. And it happened not because Brad said, I don't like milk. What happened is there is a collective consciousness that causes a wave to happen. And when you believe that you can make a difference, that's how change happens. So just a belief.
So if I just think I can make a difference, animals would stop being harmed.
I believe that you are one powerful manifester.
I agree with that.
And that you influence people. I have to tell you, every serving of the hemp milk, the soy milk, the almond milk displaces cow milk. And as a result, far less cows are suffering. You know how they get cow milk? They artificially inseminate them. They keep them in the stall and they pump them with heavy machinery until they no longer can produce any milk. So they're living an entirely their almost entire life is pregnant so that they could be generating milk the entire time. So what's happening is all the people who said, I'm going to choose a plant-based alternative over the dairy, cow dairy, made a difference. So you're not going to end animal suffering overnight, but when you buy something, I used to think when I first became vegan, oh, I could buy used leather jackets and used wool and used
clothing. that's kind of what where I was going with the bacon. Like, I'm just eating it after it's cooked.
But then I realized that by me buying the used stuff, I was creating an aftermarket for it. I was creating demand for that. And then I said no to that too.
Yeah.
So
someone has to just get real obsessed about shit.
Someone has to tune in. It's a collective thing. I think most people are unaware of the atrocities and the cognitive dissonance, the ability to separate. Like, if you, Brad, with your bare hands, maybe a Swiss Army knife, had to go find a cow, you know, slit its neck and fillet it and peel it off and deal with it and look it in the eye before you killed it. I mean, you probably could do it because you're like a mercenary.
I couldn't do it until we were faced with it. It's a must.
Right. But right now it's not a must. Right now it's a choice for you.
Yeah. And right now I don't kill cows.
You're just using your financial leverage to have that cow killed so many steps away that you don't have to even associate with, in your mind, you're not at all associated with the death of that cow.
That's correct. Cow died, and then I found the meat. Right. It didn't die because I wanted the meat.
But the meat you're going to eat next month, probably that cow is alive today.
Well, what if I don't eat any cows next month? Will it be alive?
More,
I'll bet you the same cow would have been dead either way.
Yeah. I mean, this is big physics stuff here. I really believe in your mind. Would you ever eat? Do you have dogs? Do you have pets?
Yeah.
Would you ever eat your dog?
Never. Well, again, if I had to, yeah.
Right. But right now, you know, in other countries, like in China, like you take your dog for a walk, you know, you're looking up at the stars, they might kidnap your dog and fillet it and eat it for dinner.
Yeah.
How would that make you feel?
Sad.
Oh, so you could feel sadness.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's all a matter of what is the normalization. In China, it's normal for some people to eat dogs. In some places, you know, they eat horses. In some places, they eat cows. It's just all the normalization. And you know, when you become more tuned in, you make different decisions. But as long as you're running and you're busy all the time and you're jumping from this to this to this, you got all the meals lined out, you don't have to think about where it's coming from, that cow, etc. You'll do it. But I think you can make a difference. And for me, Sprouts are a way to make a difference, not in just displacing animal cruelty in the supply chain, but making a difference for healthy human life. Like, if people eat Sprouts, like, the number one association with Sprouts is that they are a healthy food. So every person, the tens of thousands of people out there today that's growing, that are eating Sprouts, every time they eat Sprouts, they're saying, I made a choice for my health and well-being.
Yes, they did.
So, do you want to make a choice for your health and well-being, Brad?
Right now, I'm satisfied.
You're okay. Content.
No, right now, I don't have time to be so conscious.
Brad. I am not going to allow you to bullshit me with the scarcity.
Dude, I don't have time to fuck with this vegan shit.
No, like, you don't have the desire. It's not the time.
That's true too.
That's it.
But again, if someone brought me six vegan meals a day and they were all delicious, Because again, I find steak and chicken delicious. Delicious,
yeah.
Okay, so if they brought me, like you brought me a bunch of weird, crazy shit and said, eat this, and I ate it, I was like, dude, this is freaking killer. I would straight go vegan right now. Why? Because I don't have to think about it.
Right.
But now I got to think, well, I can't do chicken anymore. What can I do? And is that good? Is that good? And then I'm reading this book and I'm reading that book and I'm trying to figure out what's what. And then I got to get your book and then I got to start growing sprouts. And I got to figure out how to do sprouts because everyone fails sometimes. So now the sprouts didn't fucking grow. And now what am I doing? It's like stupid. I got shit to do. I ain't worried about fucking sprouts. I'm worried about fucking money. See the difference?
I get it.
So all I want to do is like eliminate all unnecessary things there are to think about. Like usually you'll catch me in a black shirt, a white shirt, or a navy blue shirt.
Do you like my shirt?
Yes. On occasion, a baby blue or a burgundy. But like, dude, I don't think about what to wear very often because I don't like, I just, it's always the same. Yeah. I don't want to think about this, that, and the other thing.
Can we talk about my shirt for a second?
Yeah.
This shirt is made with organic cotton and organic cotton denim that's been recycled.
It's a good looking shirt.
Yeah. This is Industry of All Nations. So they make clothes that they, my other Industry of All Nations shirt.
If everybody was as conscious as you, brother, we'd live in a much better world, wouldn't we?
Hopefully. And potentially, but I think the whole thing is everyone has to start their journey. 23 years ago, I was just like you. I can show you a picture of me in a black shirt where I had an all black uniform, living in New York City, working for the money. I was driven. It's like that last paragraph in The Greatest Salesman in the World, the chapter on persistence. Nor will I allow yesterday's success to lull me into today's complacency, for this is the great foundation of failure. I'll forget the happenings of the day that is gone, whether they were good or bad, and greet the new sun with confidence that this is the best day of my life. So long as there is breath in me, so long will I persist, for I know one of the greatest principles of success. If I persist long enough, I will win. I'll persist. I will win. I worked like a dog. I worked like a dog. I got up 4 a.m. I banged out my workout. While I was on the workout, I was listening to two books on tape, one in each ear at double speed, gaining information, gaining knowledge. Then I would hit the books, hit the calls, and I was just running around hustling so I could make the money. And then I realized there's more than money.
Isn't there?
Is that the first bomb we got at the whole show? There's more than money.
There is, and you know what it is?
You tell me.
Health. Because a lot of people don't realize, dude, they can go get all the money, but if they forfeit their health to do it, they will not be happy that they did it. Like, health is more important than money.
Yeah. And I mean, other people have said this, but
I'd rather be healthy and broke than rich and sickly.
Well, and you can't take the money with you.
And besides that, it's just like, you know, the whole reason people want money so they can enjoy life, but they fail to realize that health is being sacrificed in a lot of cases, and then they get the money and then they don't have the right health and vibrance to go out and enjoy it. So then they end up dying rich and sickly and their life was shit. Where someone like you that said, fuck all this, I'll go live in the desert and eat fucking sprouts and walk around barefoot and grow extra long hair on my balls, you know, which I'm sure you do.
Yeah, I don't manicure. I don't manicure my balls. Hey,
dude, I just picture like anybody that, like, you know, I call them tree huggers or granola heads. Like, you know, they don't shave. Why? Because there's, you know, why? And so you just picture these big bearded, you know, hairy bastards. That's not you though, because you obviously shave this.
Occasionally, I'm not very hairy.
Well, that was just my attempt to be funny. But anyway, the truth is though, what was I saying?
We were talking about money, making money.
Oh yeah. The truth is money is not going to solve all your health problems, but it definitely can help. So the key is to find a good balance. Sounds like you were tired of slaving your ass off, you know, busting your balls all day long. And then you realize that there's more to life than just the money and working like that. So you decided to do a different route and it worked out for you. But dude, right now I would not live in Joshua Tree and eat, figs and enjoy. Why? Nothing shook me up. Something must have shaken you up.
Yeah.
What shook you up?
I was doing the asshole triangle, New York, LA, San Francisco, working, hustling. And then I surrounded myself with some really good people and some other than good people. And I watched the business go to $10 million value, $100 million value, $500 million value to zero. And 5 years went by on this journey. And I looked, what I loved about the journey was I loved the learning. I loved the people that I met. I loved the culture.
Were you eating Sprouts?
I was eating some Sprouts along the way, but I was just eating my normal diet. Food was fuel to me, but I was just working in food tech, engineering, hardware, software, biodegradable packaging. I was doing all of that. But after that thing that got composted and I went to Burning Man and I did psychedelics in under a container of therapy. And you know, do you ski?
Yes.
So imagine when you're skiing, the grooves and the paths, people following, and they get deeper and deeper and deeper, and the banks go up and you get the berms and you can't go off. That's what happened to my brain over these 52 years. And then you do psychedelics and it's like a fresh coat of snow. And all of a sudden you have new ability to tap into other parts of your brain. You get to evaluate with a clean slate. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? And get to question everything. So I was questioning why I was doing what I was doing. So my goal of moving to the desert was I wanted to hear silence. I wanted to be in nature. I wanted to breathe fresh air. I wanted to watch the sunset. I didn't want to be addicted to the phone, to the message, the iMessage. Like when I moved there, we had no internet, right? So I'm there and I got to rebuild the Gen 2 Doug with new ideas, new thoughts. And I stumbled upon Sprouts, and then I realized that I could make a difference in millions, if not billions of people's lives by sharing the information that I learned about sprouting through my own experience, that sprouts were nutritious. They were delicious if you didn't poison them, you know, with poison your taste buds with other things. They were affordable.
Well, how do I order some sprouting gear from you?
I'll send you some links. And
okay, send me some links. I'll sprout and do it for a day. Just my kids will have fun doing it.
Yeah.
And then I'll show them how to eat it. And then I'll eat the broccoli sprouts for a week.
I think one,
hopefully I'll feel better.
Your new guest, and I don't know when he's coming on, but when Mike Posner comes on, the singer-songwriter, he eats a full jar of broccoli sprouts every day because he did the research.
Is he a healthy son of a gun?
He's healthy. He does the ice baths. He summited Mount Everest. He walked across the country. You know, he's like badass, super healthy guy. But here's a guy with all the money in the world, all the talent in the world, and he's spending his time teaching people breath work. So he became a certified Wim Hof breath instructor and ice bath to teach people how they can change their lives. Because there's different ways to be able to get adrenaline going, different ways to, you know, as you know, you've heard the term and I've heard you talk about endorphins. So the more you're exercising, the more you're choosing the right decisions, the better. One of the other things on the meditation, most people go through life beating themselves up, right? They look in the mirror, they hate themselves. If you were to meditate, and one of the meditative exercises you could do is make a list of all the good things you did in the day. I brushed my teeth. I got up early. I showed up early to work. I opened the door for this person. I made my 25 phone calls. You know, I wrote in my journal. I closed this sale. And they just made a list of all of their successes. Every day in the course of a year, they'd have 15,000, 20,000, 30,000 documented successes. Instead, all they do is they focus on the negative. And so if you focus on the success, it's very uplifting. And for me, you know, making the calls, you know, getting in the car, driving, like my world, I hear so many no's. Like I FaceTimed the host of Fox News, Good Day New York. I met her 15 years ago. I had her phone number in my iPhone. I called her up and I gave her the Sprout pitch 6 different times. Know what's happening on September 8th?
You're getting on there.
Going on 5 minutes. Good Day New York. Huge audience to talk about Sprouts in the studio.
There you go. See?
So manifesting it. So that for me is really important because money doesn't motivate me. I live with my, wear my organic clothing.
And you got money though. You're not broke.
Of course not.
Yeah. So it's easy to say when you got it.
Yeah. But I made a decision that I don't need billions.
Yeah.
Right. I have enough money
to be happy. You're choosing different kind of happiness.
Yeah. I mean, do you know how fun it was to come here? Like I was listening to Brad Lee Dropping Bomb podcast the entire trip. When I got here, I was like, oh my God, I got to get out of the car. I got to stop listening to Brad. I had like a whole Brad day. And you share so much knowledge. You're so funny. And like, this is, you know, to me, this is a home run. This is a victory. Second appearance on the Brad Lee Dropping Bombs podcast.
That's right.
And just sharing different information.
And both times, I'm sure there's people right now saying, you know what? I need to start sprouting. You know what? That made a lot of sense to me. There's all kinds of people listening. Some are thinking, you know, dude, I ain't sprouting no matter what. And then there's people saying, dude, I'm going to sprout. So what you just keep doing is talking about sprouts, sharing what you know, sharing what you've learned, and the ones that need it will pick it up. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
So I'm just getting the knowledge from the people who have it to the people who need it. And I'm usually receiving a lot of it. You see what I'm saying? I'm always listening. Again, little inconvenient sprouting, but I'll order some.
Are you aware that you're a genius, Brad?
No.
Yeah.
What makes you think that?
Well, here's what I believe. This is a quote from Walter Russell that said, I believe sincerely that every person has consummate genius within them. Some appear to have it more than others. And it's the awareness or unawareness of that genius is what makes one into a master or holds them down to mediocrity. Therefore, mediocrity is self-inflicted and genius is self-bestowed.
I like that. What else would you tell? What's the final thing you'd give the bomb squad? Otherwise, this is going to end up being the longest episode in the history of the world.
I think that everyone has choices and that make effort to stop, breathe, think, and make choices that serve you, not do what you've always done.
Can't be afraid to change, folks. You cannot be afraid to change. Appreciate you coming out. You're always welcome back just to shoot the shit. I'm going to start sprouting, folks. We'll give you an update in a couple of months. We won't wait two years. We'll do that. If anybody else is sprouting out there, make sure you go get his book, The Sprout Book. You can go to thesproutbook.com or anywhere their books are sold. Until next time, kids, keep it real.